although she and Kenny argue a lot. I think they both want the other to concede they're the top dog. She laughed softly, as if their arguing was funny rather than annoying. We brought Kenny home to Blythe, Elena confessed. He was in a bad way, but she took him in immediately. It's a wonder what she's accomplished with him. Anya had no idea what they were talking about, but she wanted to hear more. Clearly Blythe hadn't given birth to the four children, but watching Czar with them and hearing the love in Blythe's voice, she knew those children were theirs. They loved them as much as any birth parent could. Darby doesn't think so. She's after him all the time to study. They're at Ariana's house right now. It's just down the road. They go to school there. Zoe's with them. She frowned. Our Zoe is still having nightmares. We've got her in counseling, but so far... She broke off, shaking her head. I think it's good for her to be with Ariana's children. They talk about what happened to them among each other at times. Darby says she thinks that's helping Zoe a little bit. She looked straight at Anya. They were all victims of human trafficking. Ariana's children, other than her new baby and other than Emily. There were tears in her eyes. Blythe. Elena's voice was soft, gentle, caring. It was the first time Anya had ever heard those notes in her voice. I see them now, and I saw them then. You've done wonders for them. They love it here, and most importantly, they feel safe. Anya's heart clenched hard. Safe. Safety. She would never have equated that with a motorcycle club either. Maybe it wasn't in all clubs, but certainly in this one. They cared about family and children. Blythe looked out the window, her gaze on Czar. Thank you, Elena. Sometimes, because we're so close to it, we hear them at night, or find them hiding in a closet, scared out of their minds. Feels like we're swimming against a terrible current. Her hand fluttered against her throat. Czar is amazing, so strong, always steady with them. I tend to be the baby and cry with them. Elena put down the spoon she was stirring the spiral noodles with and went to Blythe, wrapping an arm around her. You took care of me when I needed it, Blythe. That's why I can tell you without reservation, you're the heart of us, of all of us. Of those kids? Anya blinked back the tears shimmering in her eyes. She'd never, not in a million years, have thought Elena could be so caring. Hearing about the children broke her heart. She'd seen children come into the shelters, traumatized. Here, there were people who cared. A lot of them, clearly. Czar, beer in hand, suddenly turned toward the house, looking at Blythe through the window. He saw Elena with her arm around her waist and immediately started jogging across the lawn. Anya watched him come toward them. He had eyes only for Blythe, although Anya had the feeling he saw everything. The minute he was on the move, the entire group went electric, on alert. Both Reaper and Savage flanked him, spreading out, as if watching his back. A little shiver of awareness went down her spine as she looked at their faces, hard as steel. Eyes cold as ice, deep lines carved through their already tough features. She was looking at the other side of them, an image of the knife penetrating Deke's flesh, driving deep, all the way to the hilt. Reaper so casual. Savage saying he would take care of it. What was she thinking? She stepped back as Czar entered. He went straight to his wife and pulled her into his arms. She heard him murmur something, and Blythe laughed. Although Anya could tell she was crying. Reaper came in behind him. Savage was nowhere in sight. Reaper's gaze swept the room, a thorough inspection, and then he glanced at the couple before his gaze landed on Anya. She detested that her body felt that penetrating look all the way to her core. Heat coiled, moved through her veins, a slow burn that was like a hot fire spreading lazily through her entire body. She pressed her hand to her stomach where knots gathered. He was so disturbing with his rough edge, one minute shoving her away, the next bringing her close. He didn't speak, only looked at her, and she had the feeling he knew she was trying to back away again, trying to talk herself into getting out while she could. She knew there would never be a relationship with Reaper. He wasn't that kind of man, and he never would be. Even if he let himself care, he would want to control every aspect of their liaison. He would insist on ruling her. She wasn't that kind of woman, even if they could find a way to be together. Czar spent a few minutes kissing Blythe and teasing her openly until she was laughing and smiling. Anya couldn't help noticing that his hands moved over Blythe's body, under her tank, over her butt, and no one seemed to pay the least bit of attention. Anya squirmed because the entire time Reaper watched her, not them, and her body grew hotter. So hot she was afraid she might spontaneously combust. She ached. Really, really ached. Everywhere. Czar finally lifted his head, grinning, appearing so much younger than Anya had ever seen him look. "Should I send Fateh in to help make the burgers?" "That's your job," Blythe said. "Babe." Lana put her hand on her hip. "Tell Ink he can make the burgers. He isn't doing anything but standing around trying to look hot." "Are you still carrying a grudge against that poor man?" Czar asked. "Poor man, my ass! If he ever tries to boss me again, I'm going to slit his throat," Lana declared, and Anya believed her. She took a step back from the counter. This wasn't the place for her. She wasn't a violent person. She had a temper, but she didn't ordinarily strike out at anyone physically, as she had with Reaper. She'd put her hands on him more than once, and that wasn't acceptable behavior in her mind. These people thought nothing of slitting throats and throwing knives. "Anya's going to help me put my house together," Reaper announced unexpectedly, shocking her. Her gaze jumped to his. His eyes were bluer than ever, a penetrating, piercing blue that took her breath and saw right into her every thought. She knew he'd done it on purpose, telling the others so she wouldn't back out. He knew she'd been thinking of running again. Clearly, she didn't have a poker face. The room had gone so silent, she wanted to scream just to fill it. Her tongue touched her lower lip, and then she turned her attention to slicing the last of the pickles. She still had the onions to go. Maybe she could drive everyone out of the room if she started them. "You going to be living there?" Czar asked Reaper. Her gaze jumped back to Reaper's. He nodded his head slowly. "Anya needs a place to stay, and I need the place fixed up. She agreed to help me." Had she? She couldn't think straight with him looking at her like that. She just wanted to fall right into all that blue. At the same time, she wanted to run away, as fast and as far as possible. She was willing to have sex with him. Sex without strings. She couldn't live his lifestyle, and no way was he changing it, not for any woman. She knew in motorcycle clubs, women were second to the club. She'd been second her entire life. That would never happen with the man she loved. She intended that he would always be first, but she wanted, even needed, to be first in his life. Reaper would put all these men and women before he would ever put a woman, if he even kept one. "Nice," Elena said. "If you need any help, Anya, let me know. I'd be more than happy to help. If you're into that kind of thing, I'm working on my restaurant right now, trying to come up with some interior designs. It's not really my thing, and I wouldn't mind advice. Lana and I are hitting our heads on the wall half the time." "You're starting a restaurant?" Anya asked. She'd seen the large building that had finally been completed. It had banks of windows, but inside, when she'd stopped to look, there was nothing on the walls or floors. "I love to cook. I thought it would be fun to have a place to actually cook and have someone eat what I make besides my monster brothers, who would eat anything and call it good." Elena's voice was carefully casual. Anya could see the restaurant meant a lot to her. "We've come to a standstill, because the interior is mine to figure out, and I have no idea what I want. Ice and Storm told me to just hire someone, but then it's really not mine. I thought just talking it out would give me ideas, but so far nothing. The building just sits there, after costing the club so much money. Babe. Czar's voice was gentle. Stop that. That money is all of ours. We're golden right now, so no worries on how long it takes. You want it to be yours. Do it your way. Thanks, Czar. Elena sent him a small smile. Won't hurt if Anya takes a look, Reaper said, volunteering her. She would have volunteered herself a minute earlier because she felt Elena's genuine distress, but now that Reaper had done it, she wanted to throw something at him. She was leaving. She'd made up her mind. She didn't belong in this world, no matter how much certain aspects of it appealed to her.
Would you mind, Anya?
Elena asked. Anya wasn't certain whether Elena was trying to make up for the two sizes too small tank, or really wanted her opinion, but she didn't have much choice.
Of course, I'd love to look at it.
I've stopped a few times and peered through the window because the building is so cool. The foundation was cut out of the hillside, high enough to give a view of the ocean, and behind it the hillside was terraced. Already the plants were beginning to grow up, taking the shape of a wild garden one could see through the banks of glass. It wasn't huge, but gave a more intimate vibe, as if it was a secret place one might stumble on and enjoy with friends, someone special or family. The club bought and employed locally if they could. They had a good relationship with Inez at the grocery store in Sea Haven, and were in talks with her to open a smaller version in Casper for the locals. The small town already had the new garage and tattoo shop. Both were building a reputation for good service and excellent work. The bar was doing extremely well, and on Friday and Saturday nights there was live music. Maestro, keys, player, and master played. They were looking for a vocalist, but wanted the right one. Now, if Elena had her way, they'd have a restaurant. Reaper and Czar left, and the women immediately began to prepare the food in earnest. While the potatoes and boiled eggs were cooling in the refrigerator, Blythe chopped up dill pickle and black olives to add into the salad. Lana and Elena quickly put the rest of the ingredients for the pasta salad together, while the spiral noodles were cooling. Anya sliced the onions.
I can shape the burgers, she offered. I don't mind.
Let the men do it, Blythe said. Czar knows there's only a few of us, and we can't cook for all of them without help all the time. It won't hurt for them to learn to help out in the kitchen. Czar's always helped me. Sooner or later, those men are going to find women that they want to spend their lives with. When that happens, I want them to be at least partially civilized. Otherwise, I'm going to have a few complaints on my doorstep. Anya looked up, puzzled.
I keep missing parts of the conversation. Why would you get complaints if the men aren't acting civilized?
Lana laughed. She's Wendy. You know, Wendy from Peter Pan. Elena read this article about how some men are Peter Pan and never want to grow up, and every Peter Pan needs a Wendy, willing to surround herself with lost boys. She's our Wendy. Czar isn't Peter Pan because he's definitely grown up.
I might argue if he was in the room, Blythe objected with a smile.
But the rest of us are her lost boys, Elena and I included. She's the one we all go to. She collects lost children, too.
No, you bring them to me, Blythe corrected.
But you take them in, Elena pointed out. She blew Blythe a kiss.
I was a total bitch, Anya, when I had to move in with Blythe and Czar. I was hurt pretty bad. Didn't think I'd live. Didn't know if I wanted to. Blythe worked her magic. I can recommend her highly.
Blythe blinked back tears. I love you, idiot. Stop making me feel all mushy.
Let's get this food done, or we'll have a rebellion on our hands.
Anya had felt safe in the kitchen with the women, but now she hesitated. She didn't want to go outside with all the club members. She knew most by sight, but they didn't really talk to her. Reaper was being nice for the moment, but that didn't mean he'd keep being that way. She wasn't certain what she was going to do with him. Maybe he didn't know what to do with her, but it was clear the club took in strays. That was most likely how he saw her. that, and he wanted her. She could see that in the way his eyes moved over her body, the way his cock was thick and long, unashamedly bulging in his jeans. He never attempted to cover up or hide it from her. She wished she could be like that, like Czar and Blythe, who made no attempt to hide the way they felt about each other. Anya, Elena held out a bag. Try one of these tops. I think they'll fit better. All three are for you. There are limited choices here, but these are our favorite brands. Anya took the bag, murmuring her thanks. Blythe indicated a door off the kitchen. The bathroom was spacious and smelled fresh with a hint of lavender. Anya found she was reluctant to unbutton Reaper's shirt. It enveloped her body in his warmth. It even smelled faintly of him. She had to give it back to him, because the longer she had it on, the more she felt she belonged to him. Pulling off the tiny tank, she examined the three other shirts. The two tanks were Harley's, and the other one was a brand she didn't know. She chewed her lip as she pulled that one over her head. It was black, tight. Although it fit perfectly, it was daring. Cut-out shoulder and sleeves with three more cutouts down the front, the largest right above her breasts, a smaller strip over the top curves, and a much smaller one showing a hint between the two mounds. She'd definitely fit in. There was a black bra that would go with it. Support, but not show. It was sexy enough to get Reaper's attention one way or the other, but not so slutty that she would feel like her breasts were spilling out in front of everyone. She pulled it on and examined herself in front of the mirror. Definitely sexy. What was she thinking? Entice Reaper? She was already out of her league here. She caught the hem to pull it over her head when the door opened and he walked right in. She whirled around, shocked, her mouth open. She didn't know why she was shocked, but she was. He'd done it before. Lana and Elena had done it. The club members thought nothing of locks. Reaper, I was changing. Thought you might be hiding. He stared at her, took another step into the room and shut the door behind him. Her heart went crazy. God, she couldn't breathe. He took up the entire room, and she'd thought it was a fairly large bathroom. She took a step back and bumped up against the sink. I'm not hiding. Her voice came out a whisper. He stepped closer. Very close. His eyes dropped to the front of her top. This one. He said it softly, but it was an order. His fingers slid over her bare skin, tracing the tops of her breasts. It's a little racy. He didn't say anything, but his gaze jumped to hers. As he stared into her eyes, the pad of his finger went to the second open strip, spreading heat. Flames danced over her skin. Air was trapped in her lungs. He was touching her with one finger. One. That was all. And he owned her. He terrified her with his intensity. At the same time, the temptation of dancing with the devil was so strong, there was no resisting. His finger left the second strip and slid to the third one. He never once took his gaze from hers, yet he was accurate, as if he had memorized exactly where he could touch bare skin. This time, his finger stroked down her breast, tracing the swell, first on one side and then on the other. Her heart beat out of control. She had no choice but to let out her breath, and then her breathing turned ragged, labored. Her sex throbbed, clenched, went more than damp, went slick. Heat flared through her body. One finger. It was terrifying what he could do. She licked her lips, tried to think beyond the brutal pulsing in her body. This one, he repeated, making it a decree. God. God. No one was going to save her from damnation. That was for certain. She nodded, although she didn't know if she could walk out there in front of all the club members dressed in such a sexy top. Lana and Elena wore them with ease, but she was no Lana or Elena. The moment she nodded, his palm curved around the nape of her neck, and he bent his head. She felt his breath, warm. She closed her eyes, and his mouth was on hers. Her heart stuttered. She tasted beer. She tasted man. Then she was addicted, just like that, because he was there. Reaper. All commanding mouth. Hot as hell. Scorching. No hesitation. Not rough, like she expected. Gentle, but totally in control of her. Leading her where he wanted to go. And he wanted to own her. To brand her. To make sure no one else would ever satisfy her. He accomplished all of it with his mouth moving over hers, his tongue sliding along hers. One hand was at the nape of her neck, the other at her throat, his thumb sliding caresses over her soft skin while her heart pounded into his palm. His body wasn't touching hers, but she felt it, felt his heat like that of a furnace. She couldn't have moved if she wanted to because she was his prisoner, held there by his mouth, by his kiss. She had no idea anyone could kiss like that, or that a woman could be lost in a man, give herself to him just with a kiss. When he lifted his head, the terror was still there, maybe more so, her heart beating out of control. She knew she was lost, that he could take her over, that he would take her over. She had to remind herself that she didn't belong in his world, and men like Reaper didn't stay, that her personality would never mesh with his. Sex was acceptable, but falling wasn't. "Come on out of here." His voice was gruff. It was difficult to find her voice. His hand was still on her nape, although the other reached to fiddle with her hair. The blue eyes remained on her face.
Reaper... You just walked in again. This is a bathroom. I could have been on the toilet.
That embarrassed her, but really, it had to be said. Even after the hottest kiss in the world, that should take the hotness factor down a peg or two for both of them. He shrugged. Everyone uses a toilet, Anya. No big deal. He turned and yanked the door open. She caught up his shirt, the flannel, a security blanket, just in case everyone stared at her and she couldn't take it. He took the shirt out of her hand and tossed it on the counter as they passed through the kitchen.
"I might need that. It turns cold fast here."
Reaper looked at her, took her hand and tugged until she followed him out the door. Heads turned. She should have known. She kept her chin up, but she didn't look at any of them. She kept her eyes on Blythe. If Blythe could function in this crowd of bikers, she could. "Lana tells me you know how to do some fancy flair," Preacher said, handing her a beer as they approached the group. She took the cold bottle from him, nodding. "It's just a fun little craft I used to work my way up through the bars to the big money." The moment the words left her mouth, she knew she'd disclosed too much, far too much. What was wrong with her? They might be criminals. Okay, she was certain they were. But she couldn't tell them what she was running from. She didn't know them that well. Any of them, not even Reaper. She'd come this far by keeping her own counsel. "What are you doing slumming in a biker bar?" Czar asked, leaning his elbows on the back of Blythe's lawn chair. She took a step away from Reaper, and he caught her around her ribs, with one thick arm just under her breasts, and pulled her back to lock her tightly against his body. A claiming hold. She almost dropped her bottle of beer. Around her, the others gave one another looks she couldn't interpret. What the hell? Just because she hadn't seen him with anyone for the last month didn't mean he wasn't the resident hound dog. She'd seen the others, especially his brother with women, so why hadn't she thought he was all over them? A month of watching him didn't mean anything at all. He was too smooth, too good at seduction. A touch, his mouth pure fire. Why did she ever imagine that she was special? What had given her that idea? The night before, he'd made it clear he didn't even like her. He'd called her a bitch and tried to get her fired. Now, suddenly, he was hot for her? It was sex. Pure sex. She had to keep her head in the game and her heart locked up tightly. "You don't have to answer," Czar assured her. "You don't owe me an explanation." Had she looked panicked? No, she'd just taken too long to answer him. She tried to shrug, to be just as casual as all of them.
I needed a change. Cities got old. I needed to breathe. That sounded good. It didn't explain her beat-up Honda or the campground, but he just said he didn't care if she didn't want to explain. Reaper put his mouth next to hers as Czar straightened to go flip the burgers. Better to stick to the truth, or just plain don't answer, than to lie. She stiffened, tried to pull away, but his arm locked tight. He took another swig of beer, ignoring the tension in her. "There's a chair right here," Blythe said, patting the one beside her. "She's fine where she is," Reaper said. Anya turned her head, one arm curving up and around, so she could put her hand behind his neck, looking affectionate. She put her lips against his ear. "She can answer for herself," she hissed, and bit his earlobe. He didn't so much as flinch. He kept his arm around her body, caught her hair with his free hand, yanked her head back, and took her mouth. This kiss was different. There was no gentle. This was rough, hard, wet. Fire poured down her throat. Not just fire, magma. It felt like a volcano erupted and burst through her, spreading through her body, engulfing every nerve ending she had. She felt him shift her in his arms, but her body burned for his, and there was thunder in her ears. Blood pounded in her clit. His hands were on her bare skin, and she badly wanted to get to his bare skin. The roaring in her head was desperation. Need was intense, brutal, so sharp and terrible she couldn't think straight. Reaper walked her backward, and voices faded. She found herself up against the side of the house, his hands cupping her breast, his thumb sliding over her nipple, brushing her with flames. His mouth devoured her. She heard herself give a little sob of need, and then his mouth was on her, and the world felt like it exploded. Fireworks. Colors burst behind her eyes. His tongue and teeth never stopped, and then his hand was opening her jeans and sliding down. Through the loud drumming of her heart in her ears, that booming thunder, she heard the faint sound of a child's laughter. Instantly, she caught his wrist and dragged air into her lungs so she could speak. "We have to stop." He lifted his head, looking into her eyes. "Not happening unless you don't want me." His hand slid farther into her jeans, one finger curling into her. "You're hot and slick, Anya. Tell me you don't want me." She looked around. They were on the side of the house, away from the others. Foliage shrouded them, but she still didn't want to take the chance that Emily might walk up on them. She was a little ashamed that she would have gone for it, even if the others were around, taking the chance, but not with a child. "Emily!" Immediately he jerked his hand out of her jeans and licked his finger. "We're getting out of here." God, yes. She'd go anywhere with him.
Chapter 6 Anya ducked into the kitchen to retrieve Reaper's shirt on the pretense that she needed it to stay warm on the back of his bike. It kept her from having to face anyone. Neither spoke as they hurried out, but right before she climbed on behind him, he caught the front of her shirt and kissed her again. Another blinding, fiery kiss that melted her stomach and had her kissing him back with everything she was, giving herself to him completely. She hadn't known she could kiss like that. She hadn't known anyone could kiss like that. She slipped behind him, her arms tight, and they were on the road, the big bike vibrating like a monster between her legs. One of his hands dropped to cover both of hers, pressing them tightly into his waist, the moment they were back on Highway 1. She couldn't have said how long it took to get back to the compound. The ride was a haze of need, of dark, carnal desire. It pulsed between her legs. Blood pounded in her clit and roared in her ears. He had her off the bike and was dragging the flannel over her head as he pulled her toward the building, bunching it in his hand. He had the new top off by the time they hit the common room. She barely noticed that the two newer prospects were sitting at one of the tables, but Reaper did. He grunted something to them, reached down and caught her, tossing her over his shoulder and striding to the room he'd allowed her to stay in. She caught at the hem of his colors, holding tight, her heart pounding. He kicked the door shut and tossed her on the bed and threw the flannel into the corner. Putting one knee on the bed, he reached for her shoes. She couldn't breathe. The need was so strong. His face was dark, cut with harsh lines of pure, carnal lust. That took any breath she had left in her lungs away. She'd never seen him any way but in complete control. His hands were strong as they peeled away her jeans and panties in one swift motion, leaving her sprawled out on the bed, naked except for her bra. Dropping to his knees at the end of the bed, he dragged her body to him, using her ankles. She had no chance to do anything to prepare. He jerked her thighs wide, tossed her legs over his shoulders, and his mouth was there, right where she needed it the most. She bucked, the world exploding, fragmenting as the orgasm rushed over her that fast. He didn't stop. He didn't even seem to notice. He devoured her, ate her, took complete control of her body so that she felt helpless against the onslaught of his mouth and teeth and tongue. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he gave it all to her, so much that her mind turned to mush, so that there was no thinking person, only a wild, out-of-control woman, head thrashing back and forth on the sheets and her hips riding his mouth. The third orgasm had her entire body shuddering with pleasure, but her hands fisting in his hair, trying to pull his head away. "You have to stop." He had to, or she was going to go insane. She'd lost the ability to think properly or reason. She could only feel, and her body couldn't keep up with his wild tongue. His head came up as if scenting something, trying to deprive him of his prize. She looked into those blue eyes, so dark now, so wild, and he looked terrifying in his intensity. His face was slick with her, and that just added to the sensual, wanton lust stamped so deep in the lines there. "Belongs to me. All of this body, all of you. You take what I give you." She couldn't. She couldn't. Anya shook her head, and then his mouth was back, and he was once again taking control of her body and mind. Every word reverberated through her mind, bouncing off the walls until she was wailing again, his teeth raking her clit, sending her flying. He stood, still wedged between her thighs, his eyes holding hers as he leaned down, caught her bra in one hand and ripped the stretchy lace right off her, exposing her breasts. Keeping his eyes on hers, he began to slowly pull his colors off, folding them neatly and setting them aside. "Understand what's happening here. You're in my world. That means you live by our rules. This is done. You don't whine or cry or give me grief. When I say it's over, it is. You got that? I need you to say you understand." She did. She so did. He was on board with the one night of pure, blazing sex, although it was daytime. But what difference did it make? This was so perfect. She needed this desperately. All those nights of looking at him, wondering what it would be like. And it was so much better than she'd imagined. Better and yet terrifying. She couldn't possibly keep up with Reaper's sexual needs. He was truly beyond her imagination.
"I understand. No whining. I promise."
She couldn't look away as he stripped. She felt exposed, vulnerable, her body throbbing with aftershocks, shuddering with anticipation. His body was rock-hard, but covered in scars. So many. Tattoos slithered up his chest and curved over his arms. They were beautiful. Exquisite work. She wanted to explore every one of them, taste his skin, trace his muscles with her tongue. His cock was amazing, beautiful. She wanted that, too. He didn't remove his boots or jeans, just pushed them down, caught her ankles and rolled her over, yanked her hips up so she was on her hands and knees, and then drove into her, hard, pushing through tight folds so her body was forced to accept his invasion. The feeling of fullness was shocking, stretching, burning streaks of fire. It was all the most amazing sensation she'd ever felt. Her heart pounded. Her breasts jolted with every hard thrust. He wasn't gentle. Not his hands, fingers digging into her hips, controlling every movement, forcing her body back into him, pushing her away and then slamming deep, over and over. Her arms couldn't hold her, and she dropped to her elbows, but he held her hips mercilessly, his cock a ruthless piston. The fire was scorching hot. Every stroke hit a spot deep inside that sent waves of pleasure rolling through her. There was no air to breathe, but it didn't matter. Nothing mattered but the way his cock ruled her, the way it sent fire storming through every cell, building, building. He was so hot. His heartbeat thundered through her, felt through her tight muscles as his body raged in hers. There was no holding back when the tsunami came, roaring through her, sweeping him along, his cock swelling, pushing at the sensitive tissue, striking like a hot iron, branding his name deep as she cried out, nearly sobbing as he emptied himself, as her orgasm drained him, milking every drop. She lay there, her head on the sheet, eyes closed, fists tight, while her heart pounded out a wild rhythm. It had been the most insane, perfect storm of pleasure, and she couldn't move. She'd heard of that. Sex so great one couldn't move, but it had never happened to her. No one had ever taken control of her body like that. Reaper lay over top of her for long moments, recovering his breath, his hands still tight on her hips, his cock pulsing as the little aftershocks shook her. Then he withdrew, and she collapsed forward. He let her, standing there, pulling up his jeans. She heard the zipper. She opened her eyes and saw his back, the tattoo that covered it, that same scary tree with so many branches, crows and skulls that was on his jacket. He caught up his jacket and, without a word, left the room. Anya lay there on the bed, alone. He hadn't even looked at her, not one glance. She reached for the pillow and pulled it to her, holding it tightly. She knew what she was getting into. He'd told her. She'd seen enough of club life, the women vying for their attention. She'd just become one of them. He'd spelled it out for her, too. It wasn't like he hadn't. He'd said not to whine or cry. She'd wanted this. She rolled over, wrapping her arms around her middle, staring up at the ceiling. She'd wanted this. So, would she do it all over again? Hell yes. It had been that good. She'd wanted her one night of perfection, of wild, primitive, savage sex, and she'd gotten it with whistles and bells and a million thundering orgasms. It wasn't like he hadn't been generous. She was a big girl and refused to cry over the abrupt way he'd left. Reaper wasn't a nice man. She'd known that, too. He wasn't a hearts and flowers man. He'd made that very clear. She'd said she understood. She had to be okay with the fact that it was a one-time deal. It didn't matter how great the sex had been. Probably for him it was like that every single time. For her, she put the pillow over her head. For her, it was the best sex of her life. So worth it. No talking. No bossing her with his attitude. She scored. Hot, hot, hot sex with no strings. Hell no. She wasn't going to whine. She wasn't certain she would ever walk again. Every step would remind her of him. She felt like his name was burned deep inside her, her breath caught in her throat. Had he used a condom? He had to have used a condom. Oh, my God! Tell me he used a condom, she whispered to the universe, trying to remember if she'd heard him tear the wrapper off one. Her blood had been pounding in her ears, roaring so loud she hadn't heard much of anything. No, she'd felt him, every thick inch of him stretching her, hot, scorching hot, burning her raw, scraping her raw. She groaned and threw the pillow against the wall. She knew by the way his seed seeped out of her and coated her thighs that she'd been so irresponsible. "Damn it!" she yelled and rolled over, burying her face in the sheets. There was no getting away from that shame. She'd been too crazy, too needy, too desperate for his cock to think about protection, to think about modesty. She'd acted just like the women who hung around the club, eager to be used. He'd carried her through the common room in just a bra and her jeans. He'd said something to someone, which meant she'd been seen. Did that mean, when she went to work tomorrow night, they'd all feel as if she were a fair target? Before, she'd been off-limits, and no one in the club hit on her. She wasn't all that modest. She'd lived in shelters where there was very limited privacy, but she didn't want anyone to think she was going to be available to any other member of the club. She sat up, groaning as her body protested. What if he went back to the barbecue and everyone was talking about her right this minute? She couldn't blame them if they did. But she wasn't sticking around and waiting for one of the others to walk in and expect her to have sex with them. Anya reached for her bra and saw it was ripped to shreds, into two pieces, the scraps lying near the top of the bed. Sighing, she looked around for her top. He'd thrown it off of her. Where? She couldn't remember. She groaned again and buried her face in her hands. "You're a big girl, Anya. You knew exactly what you were getting into before he even spelled it out for you. So no whining, no regrets. You want every minute of this time to be burned in your memory." It was burned deep inside of her for all time. She would probably have a spontaneous orgasm just thinking about it. "Okay, think," she whispered it aloud, because she had to keep her brain working when her body was still in meltdown. He'd kept hold of his flannel, and she spotted it scrunched up in the corner. Very slowly, she climbed out of bed. She'd keep this memory, not because Reaper had made her feel special, just the opposite, but because she knew she'd never have sex like that again. Never. She pulled on his shirt. It was long enough to cover her, and she didn't want to put on her jeans until she washed up. Washed him off her, out of her. For a moment, she stood there, pressing her thighs together, squeezing her inner muscles as if she could keep him. "What are you thinking?" That was dangerous. That would lead to whining, and she'd promised. She'd meant that promise. She might want only one night for different reasons than Reaper had, but they both wanted the same thing. She washed, brushed her teeth, and dressed in her jeans, shoes, and his shirt. She'd need to get to her car, get money, and purchase a decent bra somewhere. She had a couple of T-shirts that were clean, folded and stacked with another pair of jeans on her back seat, right next to the two sketch pads that had Reaper's image drawn in 100 ways. She left the bed, smelling of sex and them. Reaper and Anya. Let his club deal with the sheets, however they did that sort of thing. They had far more experience than she did. She walked through the common room, and thankfully it was empty. She spotted her shirt on the bar, where someone had picked it up off the floor and placed it in full view for everyone to see. She left it there. Everyone knew, anyway. If they could be casual about sex and whatever else they did, so could she. Anya walked out into the bright sunlight, blinking a little. The two prospects who had been in the common room earlier straightened as she came out, but she just sent them a vague smile and kept walking. Hopefully, the next time she saw either of them, she'd be behind the bar working. She was safe there. She knew how to deal with anyone from behind the bar. She walked fast toward the garage. It was early in the day still. She could collect her money, hopefully the car, and get out to the egg-taking station. Thankfully, she had the night off. That was part of the reason she'd allowed herself to kiss Reaper the first time. She thought they'd have all night for his kind of glorious sex. Well, okay, if she was strictly honest with herself, she'd have to admit that once he put his mouth on hers, she hadn't thought about anything but getting to a bedroom. Well, and getting into his jeans. Fast. Anywhere they were. She hadn't thought at all. She'd just felt, and that feeling had been spectacular. She had to get to a clinic. Fast. What the hell had been wrong with her that she'd been the world's stupidest woman and had unprotected sex with a biker? He was clearly very experienced. You didn't get that kind of experience by being careful. When she'd run, she'd left behind everything, including her birth control pills. She never had unprotected sex. Never. Pills against pregnancy and a condom to be doubly sure, as well as protection against STDs. She pushed at her hair, reached into her jeans pocket, and took out a scrunchie. He'd pulled her hair free the moment they were off the bike, and she'd put down the helmet. He liked her hair. He seemed to like her body, until he was done with it. She pushed those thoughts away. She hadn't wanted a relationship any more than he did, and she wasn't going to blame him for something they had sort of mutually agreed on. The garage had a sign on it that said, back in a few. That was the other thing she'd learned about the club. They would show up when they wanted. No apologies. They lived their lives free of society's rules, yet they seemed to have quite a few rules of their own. Her car was sitting inside, looking miserable. She reached under the tire well and pulled out the spare key she'd hidden there. Nope. Didn't start. Sighing, she took enough money for food and water and hopefully a used sleeping bag. She knew where there were a couple of second-hand stores in Fort Bragg. It only took a few minutes to hike up to Highway 1, and then she stood, thumb out. She got lucky. Really lucky. The huge black truck rumbled to a stop, and she recognized the driver. Leslie worked at one of the local inns as a spa director. They'd met at the egg-taking station when Leslie was walking her dogs. The woman had been there several times and was very friendly, although she'd warned Anya repeatedly that it wasn't safe. Anya didn't know her well, but Leslie was the only person she could halfway call a friend. She'd come over to talk to her while Anya sat alone on a picnic table drinking water. Leslie had immediately asked if she needed anything and offered to pick up things in town when she found Anya was staying there. She smiled at the woman, thankful her ride was someone she knew. "Hey, lovey, where's your car?" Leslie greeted, steering the huge truck back on the highway. "I was surprised to see you." "It's old and gets cranky on me," Anya admitted. Had to have her towed to the garage for hopefully a very little amount of work. Leslie studied her face. "Are you all right?" Anya opened her mouth to answer, but closed it again, giving the question some thought. Was she? She didn't know. She had quite a bit of money saved, enough to get her to another small town. If she didn't leave and continued to work at the bar, providing Reaper didn't get her fired now that he'd gotten what he wanted, what they'd mutually wanted, she reminded herself, she would have enough for a room or a studio, if she could find a rental. "Yes," she decided. She was all right. She landed on her feet because she took the time to plan. "My car is important, so waiting to find out if it's fixable is difficult. I need a few things, like a bra," she tried not to blush, "and a sleeping bag. It's going to be cold without one."
"You're going to camp out without your car?"
Leslie glanced sideways at her.
"Anya, you're a woman alone. I go out there with my husband and four dogs. Two are big mastiffs. You've been lucky not to run into any drug deals going on, or someone really losing it."
Leslie wasn't telling her anything she didn't already know. She tried to be as hidden as possible, discreetly using the outhouse and eating cold food so she didn't call attention to herself.
"I don't quite have enough money saved to get into an apartment or room somewhere. I'm close."
She'd saved all her wages, so she had go money. Renting an apartment was out because of the paperwork. A room in someone's home, that might work. But she had to make certain she had enough to leave on a moment's notice.
"Seriously, I don't like you going out there alone. I have a tiny house, but you could sleep on the couch, or we could make you a place on the porch that would be more private."
Anya's heart clenched. Few people would have made the offer, especially since, when they were talking at the camp, Leslie had laughed about how small her house was. She shook her head.
"Thanks, Leslie. Really, but I don't mind sleeping at the camp. I've been taking care of myself for a very long time. I just need some supplies." "I've got a little bit of time," Leslie said. "I'll take you to the thrift stores and then out to the station."
Reaper backed away from the bed, yanking up his pants, his gaze glued to Anya's body. What the fuck had just happened? Everything he was, everything he believed in, was gone in one second. She'd done that to him. He couldn't think, couldn't breathe. He could only stare down at her, his mind so chaotic he didn't even know who the hell he was. He slammed the leather through his belt buckle, desperate to touch her, his body refusing his command to step away, to obey him. That brought him crashing down to reality. He hadn't been under control at all. Anything could have happened to her. Anything. What the fuck was wrong with him? He kept backing up, a strange roaring in his ears. He couldn't catch his breath. His vision blurred. What had just happened?
He never lost control. Never. A man like him couldn't afford to. His body had reacted of its own accord, completely of its own accord. He hadn't told his cock what to do. He hadn't planned out a seduction step by step, based on the woman and what he knew of her. This had been all natural, all real. What the fuck? He turned on his heel and stalked out of the room, his heart pounding out of control. The pressure in his chest was enormous, pressing down on him, squeezing his heart hard. He lifted his hand to his jaw and rubbed it as he entered the common room. Both prospects turned to face him. Out of the corner of his eye, he spotted Anya's shirt on the floor. He bent and picked it up, sliding the material through his fingers in a little caress, wishing he was back in the room, holding her. "Watch her, but stay out of her way. Don't let her see you. Anything happens to her, you're both dead." He folded the shirt, placed it on the bar, and strode out. He meant it. They knew it. At least he'd protected her. The prospects knew he wasn't a man to fuck with. They weren't slouches, either of them. Both had attended one of the schools in Russia. He considered those schools for pussies. He could have done that standing on his head. Still, they were both lethal, and that meant while he got his head together, she would be safe. He hadn't taken precautions. He hadn't even thought about taking them. He hadn't expected to burn until he couldn't think, until his body belonged to her, not him. What if he had killed her? Fuck, fuck, fuck. He could have killed her. He hadn't given her a gun or a knife. He hadn't cautioned Tsar or Savage. He'd just taken her like a crazed bull, his mind a red haze, so far gone he could only feel. He had no idea how many women he'd had, but never once had that happened to him. Never. He straddled his bike and hit the road. Fast. He needed the wind in his face and the devil at his back. He could have killed her because he had been so damned selfish he hadn't considered the consequences. It never occurred to him that he would be so out of control, that his body would have a mind of its own. She had been so hot, scorching, so tight, surrounding him with a silken sheath that had been so pleasurable it skated close to pain. He hadn't wanted it to end. Everything about Anya appealed to him. Her laugh, her smile, that face, those eyes, her tits so perfect. And he hadn't had time to explore what he could do with those, the way she kissed, like fire, like his. She hadn't even protested when he had been rougher than hell, taking her like an animal, a savage beast gone mad. It had felt fucking great. Perfection. She was so fucking beautiful. He loved the way she looked on her knees, elbows to the bed, head pressed against the sheets, all that long, gorgeous hair everywhere. Her breasts were perfect, and he shut down that way of thinking. It could only lead to disaster. He lifted his face to the wind, letting it blow over him, trying to stop shaking, trying to see through the shimmering wetness. Anya. She'd given herself to him, done exactly as he'd instructed. That was the key. She needed to do exactly what he said, and she'd be safe. Fuck! He shouted it, hating himself, hating what he was. He could just ride over the cliff, be done with it. If he did, she'd be safe. She'd be safe and free to be with someone good, someone decent. He looked ahead. The curve was a long one, and on the other side was the long expanse of blue. It glittered in the sun like glass. It was time. He'd always known he'd have to do it. He'd stayed alive for Savage, for Tsar. Tsar had them in a good place now. He wasn't needed so much by the club, by his brothers, and Anya. She needed saving, because there would be no saving her if he were alive. He'd known that from the moment he'd laid eyes on her. Just as he entered that sweet, long curve, the one he intended to straighten out, two Harleys came up on either side of him. Ice, storm, they moved in unison with him, in formation, just as they often did, leaning into the curve, riding the wind. They didn't say anything. They didn't look at him. They just kept his bike on the road. There would be no flying today, no soaring out over the ocean, no disappearing into all that blue. He led the way. He knew where he had to go.
Mark Centerfield ran the underground fights. They were moved from place to place, but once Savage and Reaper had competed and won, Centerfield wanted them to compete and texted locations. He went straight to the nearest one, just on the outskirts of San Francisco. The long drive should have cleared his head, but it didn't. Nothing could. He'd fucked up so badly, he couldn't even comprehend what had happened. He hadn't even used a condom. Never once had that happened. He'd been so out of control, he hadn't even protected her that way. It wasn't difficult to get a match immediately, and he was willing to fight one after another until he was defeated. Ice and Storm didn't try to stop him. They held his colors and kept them safe as he stepped into the ring. The sweet pain of fists hitting flesh burst through him, clearing his mind. So there was only one thing for him, survival. His brothers dragged him off each fallen fighter, time and again. He couldn't hear the shouts, the roars. He couldn't hear anything. He couldn't feel anymore. Not the fists hitting him, not the pain bursting through his body. He didn't react. He controlled it, like he controlled everything, like he'd been taught. Ice dragged him off the fifth man and shoved him back toward Storm. "We're out of here," he informed Centerfield. "Give Storm the winnings." "Not done," Reaper protested. "Shut the fuck up," Ice snapped. "You're done." He shoved Reaper away from the ring, toward the hall. Reaper went because Ice was his brother, and Ice rarely got that tone. He didn't answer Centerfield when the man demanded to know when he'd be back. He just let Ice clean him up. His body had taken far more punishment than these fighters could ever inflict on him. It had been easy mopping up the floor with them. The hard part was not killing them, pulling his punches, so he didn't smash their brains, punish them for not smashing his brain the way he needed. "You look like hell. I've texted Czar, told him we'd be meeting him in 3 hours at his house, to clear the kids out or have them in bed." Ice was back to his bossy ways. Reaper just nodded, because what was there to say? Yeah, he wanted his opponents to pound him into the ground, to take away what he was, to kill it, to kill him, to keep Anya safe. It all came back to her. Another 3 hours of hard riding did nothing to stop the chaos of his mind. One minute he was determined to never see her again, to send her away, keep her safe, and then the thought of never hearing her laughter, never seeing her face light up, never touching her, never having what he'd had for the first time in his life was too much to bear. That explosion, that pleasure he hadn't known existed, the absolute reality of his body making a choice, making Anya his choice. Czar stood in the yard, waiting, smoking one of his rare cigarettes. That alone told Reaper he wasn't happy that he'd gone to Centerfield and participated in the fights again. Reaper walked right up to him, just stood there, not knowing what to say. Ice and Storm had backed off to give him privacy, but Savage was there, looking him over, assessing the damage, just as Czar was. He had a black eye. His jaw hurt like hell and had to be swollen. There weren't many places on his body that had gone untouched. His knuckles had been iced down before they left, but they were a mess. "Need you to make certain Anya's all right for me," Reaper said to Savage. "I put two prospects on her. Need you to check she's all right." Savage nodded, hesitated, and then touched his shoulder before walking off, leaving him with Czar. It had been Czar since Reaper was that 4-year-old, terrified toddler, beaten, starved, used by sick, perverted deviants and thrown into the dark. Czar had been the one to help him, to give him hope in all the madness, to make certain there was a shred of humanity left in him. "Tell me." Reaper wished he could hit something again, smash it, smash his body onto the rocks the way the waves did. "I was so out of control. My brain just shut off, completely. I didn't think to protect her. Not in any way, Czar. I knew, watching her in that bar, I knew she could turn me inside out. But I didn't think this would ever happen." A vision of her rose up, Anya on her knees, elbows to the bed, head pressed against the sheets, all that long, gorgeous hair everywhere,
her breasts two perfect mounds, twin soft temptations, jolting with every stroke of his body as he hammered into her. So fucking beautiful. What happened?